This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, Cat and the Hurricane. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
For the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, I'm Luke Mathers with your headlines. According to the Lake County Sheriff's Office in Illinois, the gunman that fired into the Highland Park Parade, killing seven individuals and wounding more than 30, traveled to the Madison area and, quote, seriously contemplated committing a similar act of violence at a celebration in Madison on July 4th. Authorities say Robert Cremo III had a weapon and 60 rounds of ammunition, but did not, quote, put enough thought and research into it, end quote, and headed back to Illinois. Cremo confessed to the crimes he committed to authorities in Illinois, but it is unknown at this time why he traveled to the Madison area and contemplated committing a similarly egregious attack near University Avenue in Middleton. Mainly cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers, light and variable winds, and a high of 81 degrees. There's a 60% chance for rain this evening with a chance for thunderstorms and an overnight low of 62 degrees. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Billy Young, all the way from Arizona. And Billy, I just wanted to, let me read this paragraph quickly, because this is the stuff that I'm talking about. This is Daniel Bice this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I've heard conservative commentators, as they are attacking Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes as he seeks to win the nomination, Democratic nomination to run for United States Senate against Ron Johnson. This is the headline. Daniel Bice, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said America is rich and powerful because of forced labor on stolen land. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the leading Democrat in the U.S. Senate primary next month, came under fire from Republicans over the 4th of July holiday for past criticisms he's made about the nation's founding fathers and the founding of the country. But Barnes offered his longest and clearest take on the issue during the first candidate forum of the Democratic primary. In a live Facebook discussion hosted by Citizen Action of Wisconsin on November 16th last year, the candidates were asked how they would respond to Republican criticism of critical race theory, the idea that racism pervades America's laws and institutions. Barnes said the issue was a very real issue for him because he comes from a lot of forced migration into the country. He also accused other politicians of ducking issues of race and slavery. The United States of America is the most wealthy, It is the most powerful nation on earth, Barnes said, and that is because of forced labor or stolen land. We have to teach the reality of why we are where we are, or else people will just assume it just happened this way because of hard work, because of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. So Billy, Barnes' remarks made resonant with many Democrats. The language is reminiscent in some ways of the New York Times controversial 1619 Project. He is under heavy assault by Republicans on Republican radio stations. What did he say in error, Billy?
What I just heard you say was that there are some Republicans who are tired of hearing the same old stuff. They're tired of hearing about the same old
truth. Truth?
Okay, man, look, here's the deal. Let's break this down, brother. And this is only, you know, again, historically, I can go from what's happened in my lifetime and the research we've done, what's documented, et cetera. I don't know. As you peel back every, you know, each layer of historical onion, you'll understand whatever happened at the turn of the century and even before affected this country through depressions, through wars, et cetera. But in our lifetimes, the dynamic shift that happened was related to the Vietnam War and to the election of Ronald Reagan. That was a political shift. And we knew in California, because in California, he was the governor. And one of the first things that Ronald Reagan did as governor in California was to get rid of all of these public assistance, all of these taxpayer-supported services, recreational opportunities, and a whole plethora of programs that kept many in the community engaged, employed, and a quality of life.
Or safe with mental illness. He put people with mental illnesses out on the street.
But again, at the same time, though, during Ronald Reagan's presidency, as he rode on his horse into the White House with his 10-gallon hat, there were more millionaires created in America during his reign as president than in any other time in history. Granted, you know, as time went along, more, you know, monetarily, financially, those figures percentage-wise increased as salaries went up, et cetera, but the point is, there were more millionaires, and among those that were created were several prominent, many prominent African-Americans. That is in part, it was a trickle-down, right? If we do better at the top, then that will trickle down to those.
Yeah, because morally, he was saying that those who had more would then share. That never happened.
Well, it never happened. And to this day, that's the same mentality. And what's happened is economically, the gap has gotten wider because you can't argue. There are a lot of wealthy African-Americans and minorities, certainly more percentage-wise, I don't know, in this country than ever before. Man, these people are making money handed. In fact, that's part of the problem, is that many of these young people or many of these people who come into money, they don't know what to do with themselves, man. And they're doing things that are having repercussions, having moral repercussions on the people that are following them, and hearing these philosophies of independence, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, here's the point, man. So it's economic. In many ways, it's economic. In fact, in vast ways. So the point is that today, fast forward to today, many of those people who adhere to the philosophy of that side, Trump and those folks, have been displaced. They've lost their jobs.
That's correct.
They have been economically impacted, and they are bitter, and they are upset at the current, meaning between the time all of this has happened over the last couple of, at the last decade or so, this shift. And they want to change, man. They want to change. And now you include in that this fringe element. And understand, man, this country has always sort of had knee-jerk reaction to this fringe element. The fringe element that took over the broken
White House. The Capitol, yeah.
In Congress, right? January 6th. That fringe element. But that's where we are now, man. That's where we are. So we have, those people who... And, man, what do you think the rest of the world is when they look at us now? But anybody, again, who's had a chance to travel, who's there's plenty of prosperity, happiness, and peace in many countries around the world who look at the United States, as an abhorrence, man. The stuff that goes on here, the number, and here's the other thing, man, and then, again, economically, what has that resulted in? Next time you go to L.A., or warm climate, I'm out here in Arizona, just look at the number of homeless.
Homeless people from all over the nation wind up where it's warm, because...
But I'm saying, but in my lifetime, Earl... There are now actually communities just outside of Marina del Rey, California. There's a long along the channel, a little roadway that has become, and this is just, this is symbolic of many, multiple areas in Southern California. Yeah, you're right, in some warm areas. San Francisco, I understand, is bad too. But these are communities, man, broke down RVs, cars that don't work. These people live there. And they have generators, they have TVs, they have tents, but they can't afford house payments. And these are, do you think those people are, first of all, they may not even be involved in the political process. And if they are, do you think that they would support, a government that has placed them in a position where they can't even have a home anymore?
Well, so clearly there's two sides of the coin. There are those people who are doing extremely well. That's always been that way, that there were people doing extremely well. But the other side of the coin wasn't as damaging as it is now, because going back 40 years, 30 years, industry was in the country. And so middle class people could live middle class lifestyles without having, degrees. And so many people.
What is that? What has that resulted in? That has resulted
in anger.
Historically,
yes.
Well,
and frustration.
But the logistics or the mechanics of the plan that emanated, that came from that Ronald Reagan model, also included there was a punitive side, prevention, intervention. There was a suppression side. And if you go back documented, there's several really, really great documentaries on Netflix in particular, one called 13th or 13. And it documents, we never thought, many people in this country never thought that we would get caught, at least, trading arms for drugs to the Contras, which was, again, the beginning of an organized, see, people don't want to hear this. Here's the point, Earl. You can't argue the fact that the drug trade in this country, it's documented, it was aimed directly at large central cities in L.A. and spread to the rest of the country. It became a business. And at the same time, a plan of incarceration of African-American males began that basically tripled or quadrupled the population of African-American males around the country, resulting in the fact that in African black homes, no father, no uncle, no big brothers, no role models, no discipline, implosion of the black family.
So man. Billy, you and I know the history of what took place in central cities and black communities under Ronald Reagan and all of those things. But we make up 12% of the population of this country, 13, maybe 14, whatever it is. It's in that age, in that numerical breakdown. But what I'm saying to you is that this nation,
yes,
the broader numbers in this nation are suffering. They have never suffered before, and they are angry. And so their anger is based on somebody did this to us.
Of course. Somebody's got to be
blamed. I know. But so because they can blame, I'm challenging the fact that the people that they are blaming, they're blaming the wrong people. And so,
Billy, hold the thought.
Got to go to a break. My good friend Billy Young, all the way from Arizona, is on the line. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. But I know.